Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are on the Super Talk Mississippi network of stations or online from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sander along with producer engineer Michael Mergens. Dima Mixon out today. Bob Getty enjoying a staycation, staying at home, making sure that that deck is in proper working order. First segment of the program today brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, as they always do sponsor this first segment. With the holidays right around the corner, you know, the office gathering, office parties, whether it's for Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever holiday you might be enjoying, leave the cooking and catering to Dickey's. Large groups or small, they can take care of you with a wide assortment of meats and side dishes. That is Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud to support Southern Miss Athletics and this program. Still to come on the program today, we're going to be talking with Noah Frary, formerly of the Frary and Smith podcast, about developments in the Sun Belt Football Conference. Amazing that on both the West and Eastern sides of the standings, there's still no clear-cut leader as to the two teams that will play for the Sun Belt Championship. Of course, a lot of the Sun Belt teams are going to be qualified for bowl games later on, and that'll sort itself out. But originally, it was supposed to be kind of a done deal between Texas State and Appalachian State, but doesn't look like it's going to be that way at all now. But Noah Frary will pick it apart for us. He'll also have the latest on the Southern Miss coaching search coming up. Noah Frary to come on the program. We'll also take a look at last night's basketball exhibition game with Jackson State. The Eagles had to go to overtime again, but they won again in overtime. So if you count the two exhibition games, the Eagles started out slowly but came back and won both of them and are 2-0. The season officially begins in earnest next Monday night. So we're going to break down the game highlights there, tell you about some other football dealings in the Sun Belt Conference in our news and notes segment coming up toward the end of the program. But earlier this past couple of weeks, I got a chance to talk to volleyball player Izzy Cronenberg. Izzy Isabel is her name. Short, obviously, Izzy. A senior from Ankeny, Iowa. Ankeny is a northern suburb of Des Moines. And she played at Des Moines Catholic High School, where one of her classmates was somebody named Caitlin Clark, who has made quite a name for herself in the WNBA. So how does a volleyball player, a senior from Ankeny, Iowa, wind up in Hattiesburg? I talked with her about that and the current status of the volleyball team at Southern Miss. Here's what Izzy Cronenberg had to say.
We're going to get to volleyball in a minute, Izzy, okay. But I wanted to talk to you about, probably a lot of people don't know that you went to school with Caitlin Clark at Dowling in West Des Moines. So tell us about that and any interactions you guys had, et cetera. Then we're going to talk volleyball. Okay.
I was a year below her. So, I mean, like, I obviously knew who she was. I never really, like, I wouldn't consider us friends or anything, but I knew who she was. I was at, there was a game, actually, that was my most memorable experience of her. She got mad and threw a basketball at the brick wall. That was pretty memorable, I guess. But, yeah, it was weird seeing her, like, oh, my gosh, now she's, like, the platform for women's sports.
And I was just going to say, as a female athlete yourself, what do you think of what she has done almost single-handedly, whether she tried to or not, for women's sports?
I think it's amazing, and I give her lots of props for that, especially, you know, future of sports is female. I mean, especially with the new, like, the Women's Pro Volleyball League coming out, and then just, like, with, like, the Olympics and all women have done in the Olympics and stuff.
All right, let's talk about Southern Miss Volleyball. The first thing is you didn't go the junior college route. You came right from Ankeny, mm-hmm. which is a northern suburb of Des Moines, to Southern Miss. How did that happen?
It was kind of just kind of out of nowhere. All my college recruiting I did during the COVID era, so it was definitely a different experience than most athletes. I was kind of like, okay, at the end of it, at getting close to my end of senior year, and I had just started with a new recruiter, and I was like, okay, I'm just show me options. I don't know what I want to do. And so then I originally wanted to do marine biology when I wanted to come into school, and Southern Miss actually has a really great program for that. And then the coach started talking to me, so I was like, oh, okay, this is perfect. So
okay, so you're an outside hitter. It seems to me like, as a person who doesn't know volleyball very well, there's a ton of different positions, you know. What's the outside hitter's primary responsibility?
Well, I'm actually a right side, so it's a slightly different okay. than an outside. Your job, main job is blocking the other team's most better hitter, which would be the outside. So blocking would definitely be my number one job, and then I also be able to like point score hitting wise.
Now, growing up, did you do soccer? Did you do softball? Tell me about any sports as a kid. And maybe it was just volleyball. I don't know.
I played a lot of sports. I grew up mostly riding horses. I did like equestrian. I was a goalie for the hockey team, swim team. I ran track and field pretty much all of high school.
You didn't get to see your parents a whole lot, apparently.
No, they were really supportive though. They drove me to everything. They were always there. So yeah.
Well, that's cool. This team this year and the West of the Sun Belt wide open. The team that's in first place right now, you guys have already beaten. So going into the season, you had to have an expectation as to how good this Eagle volleyball team could be. Where are they? Are they on track? About halfway through the season now?
Yeah, I think we're on track, especially after, like every time we lose, we talk about something, and then the next game, we automatically perform what we talked about. We execute. So I think as long as we, you know, keep our serves in, we're golden.
Is there anything that keeps you guys up at night as far as a team skill that you guys have got to get better at if you're going to hoist any kind of trophy at the end of the year? Even if it's just consistency.
I would just say, like, probably like an. We talk about a lot about like capitalizing. So we like to start really strong, get into a little hole, and then we're really good at making a comeback. But it'd be cool. Like, we did do this versus Louisiana, just like start strong, finish strong, game over.
Well, it's a pattern that you guys are even cognizant of. So what causes you to go into that lull? I guess that's the $64,000 question, huh?
I honestly don't know. Sometimes it's just like the team that we're playing changes, and sometimes we don't adapt fast enough. I mean, we are a younger team, but I think we're definitely learning really quick how to like figure out what's working, what doesn't work, and how to change what we're doing.
Now, this is your final year, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so has it even sunk in yet, Izzy, that this is it for you? And you've seen a lot, including COVID, going back to your recruitment time, but you're kind of the grand old lady on this team, or one of them.
Yeah, I would say like yesterday, I came in with another, we're the only two seniors from our freshman class, Callie Seabrass, and she officially medically retired yesterday. So I think it really hit me yesterday that like I'm done in 5 weeks.
So it's just now kind of starting to sink in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what about 5 to 10 years down the road? What do you see yourself doing?
So I'm actually, once I'm finished here, I've enlisted in the Air Force for the nurses enlisted program. So I'm going to go to nursing school. I'm hoping Boston College. And then I'll do 4 years enlisted, and then I'm trying to get into CRNA school. And then I eventually want to take over my dad's practice.
So you're going to be in school a long time, and,
yes.
and you're going to be poor for a little while.
Yes.
But then eventually you'll get that turned around.
Yeah, so, I just gotta get through it, and then I'll be fine.
Okay, so how good can this team? You guys are better than you were last year, it appears. Anyway.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. So the final, you know, heading down the home stretch here now, how do you feel about the rest of the season?
I'm actually really excited for it. I feel like a lot of pieces are falling into place, and I'm just excited because I feel like some teams are still going to be like, oh, it's Southern Miss, like They're not going to expect us to do much and then come out and be like, nope, this is Southern Miss, actually.
But Texas State has always been kind of the king of the hill, but they're vulnerable this year.
I mean, yeah, you just got swept by South Alabama, so yeah.
Boy, that must be the bottom of the list, getting swept by South Alabama. Hopefully they're not listening to this. But
I mean, you never know what happens. And you just got to stay humble.
But that's what makes it exciting, too, is you never know.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Well, we thank you for all the time at Southern Miss, and we look forward to the rest of the year, and we wish you nothing but the best.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Izzy Cronenberg, yeah, I think her first impression of Caitlin Clark took a basketball and flung it across the gym, kind of gave her an indication about how competitive at least Caitlin Clark can be. But it's interesting when you get to sit down and talk to these athletes and learn about them as human beings, you know, rather than just athletes. And I think sometimes that gets lost to the general spectator at home, is these, you know, they're really smart kids, and it's great to get to see kind of what makes them tick on and off the court, off the field, or whatever. But again, continued success for Izzy Cronenberg. A reminder that the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, if you can't listen to us live, many of you do download the podcast, and we thank you for that. They can be found at Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube as well. When we come back, Noah Frary from the formerly of the Frary and Smith podcast, we're going to talk Sun Belt Conference football. Might some other coaching changes be made in the league? And might one current coach in the Sun Belt be moving to Southern Miss? We'll talk about that and more with Noah Frary when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Segment two of the Eagle Hour brought to you daily by Campus Bookmart. It's in the bright gold building right across from the main entrance to the campus of Southern Miss there on Hardy Street by the Rose Garden. And it is your one-stop shop for all things Southern Miss as that graduate gets ready to walk in December or Christmas gifts. Keep Campus Bookmart in mind and tell them that we sent you. They're always big supporters of this show and Southern Miss Athletics. Joining us now, a regular contributor to the program, Noah Frary, formerly of the Frary and Smith podcast. Nobody keeps a finger on the Sun Belt Conference like Noah Frary, and there is much to talk about since our last discussion. Noah, we welcome you. Let's start, first of all, Southern Miss, of course, making the move to change head coaches, although they don't have a new permanent head coach. Reed Stringer fills in as the temporary or interim head coach. With the dismissal of Will Hall, Noah, what's your prognostications as to any other Sun Belt teams that might make a move in the offseason, particularly at App State? That's the one that gets talked about the most.
Yeah, guys. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show again. Always enjoy it. And yeah, I think we're approaching the time of year where those things start to get talked about. And, you know, I think App State's an interesting case, like you mentioned, with Sean Clark up there. I do think that, you know, one thing that could factor into the decision with Sean Clark, obviously that team has underperformed this year, but obviously there's been a lot that has happened off the field with both the community of Boone and recovering from Hurricane Helene. And I don't know how much that will play into this decision. It's been a very weird year for that team. They have obviously not maximized their talent. You know, I personally believe that Sean Clark probably bought himself a little bit of time getting to the Sun Belt Championship game last year, but you know, obviously expectations are high up on the mountain, and they did not meet those this year. So, you know, he has to be considered on the hot seat. You know, I think one that's going to surprise you that maybe I'm going to say right now that I think is at least intriguing to pay attention to, what does Georgia Southern do with Clay Helton? You know, obviously Georgia Southern has gotten off to another good start this year. But they also have been known over the last couple of years under Clay Helton to fade dramatically in November, and they're coming off of a difficult loss to Old Dominion where they got, you know, the doors blown off that team. So it will be interesting to see how does that team finish. If they finish well, I think Clay Helton is safe. If they have another bad November like they've had over the last couple of years, I think that becomes a really interesting coach that maybe is on the hot seat.
As Southern Miss, in the midst now of its search for a new head coach to succeed Will Hall, one of the names that keeps being brought up, and I wanted to check with you on the validity of this potential move, is Brian Vincent at Louisiana Monroe. Considering his pay at Louisiana Monroe, although a very nice salary for most of us regular Americans, he would still stand to make a lot more money moving to Southern Miss. Do you, in your experience in covering the league, do you see that as a, and again, this is all hypothetical, but would you think that that is a possibility?
You know, I think anything is a possibility in this era of college football. I mean, you guys cover it. I'm around it enough to realize that at the end of the day, it all comes down to money. There's not much loyalty left in this business. And so everyone has a number. I have a number. You probably have a number. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not necessarily sure I buy into that rumor. You know, I think it's interesting, and obviously Jeremy McClain has a decision to make here, and I did find it a little bit refreshing as an outsider that he talked about in his press conference that, you know, having ties to Southern Miss is not necessarily a given, and I think given the state of the program and where things have trended over the last couple of years, looking outside of the Southern Miss program might not be a bad thing. You know, a couple of things that I think come to mind for Southern Miss is, you know, how important is head coaching experience? That's maybe where a guy like Brian Vincent comes in. I think Brian Harsin, the former Auburn coach, maybe becomes intriguing as well because of that. And do you want to prioritize offense or defense? Obviously, Southern Miss has been built on strong defenses, but the offense is what sells tickets, and it hasn't been great over the last couple of seasons. And then, you know, ultimately, I think you have to ask yourself, what is the budget for this hire? Is Jeremy McClain willing to go close to $1 million, which is kind of what we have started to see from some of these larger Sun Belt schools? They were less than that with Will Hall. So I think those are all some intriguing questions that are probably being asked right now.
Noah Frary, I don't think many people were surprised that Will Hall was dismissed. I think there are some that questioned the timing in the middle of a season. Pros and cons from your point of view on making that change in the middle of a campaign?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, ultimately the con is the change, but is change always a bad thing? And in this situation, I don't think it was. This was a Southern Miss team that the rest of the season is not going to be favored against an FBS opponent. Here's why I think this could be a pro, and I mentioned another school a moment ago in Georgia Southern that did something similar several years ago. There was a coaching change that was made midway through the season, and what that allowed Jared Banko, the athletic director of Georgia Southern, to do is go out and try to get ahead of the market. And there's a number of names that I think would be interested in this position, and ultimately you have to consider in this world, too, the how the transfer portal plays in, how, you know, signing athletes mid-December plays in. So I think that if you could get a coach in place in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I actually think that sets Southern Miss up extremely well, and I think we can all be honest, guys. We felt like Will Hall was probably going to lose his job by the end of the season very early on in this year, so I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that this decision was made when it was made.
When you point to that factor of knowledge of the transfer portal and how all these things work, you know, NIL included, don't most of those point toward a younger coach?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is probably the best way for Southern Miss to go here. You know, and I would even take it a step further. I think that it needs to be a young, offensive-minded coach, you know, that potentially gets the opportunity to lead this Southern Miss program into the future. So, you know, I think you have to look at names like Brennan Marion, the UNLV offensive coordinator. Obviously, they're having a great year. You know, even a name that could be out of nowhere, maybe a Mac Leftwich at Texas State becomes someone of interest. I even think, you know, Mike Shanahan, who was the offensive coordinator at Indiana. Obviously, he was at JMU last year. Those are just some names that you start to bandy about as you think about younger guys, offensive-minded, that maybe could fit into this culture. But again, some of those names are going to take a lot of money, and it's still yet to be seen what the budget for this hire is going to be.
Has the media, in your experience, ever been so wrong, Noah, in projecting who would win the respective divisions in the Sun Belt? When you look at the media day prognostications, everyone foaming at the mouth over App State, that App State, there was no need in even playing the season that App State was going to win it. And that Texas State would skate in the West. Still could probably happen, but I don't think I've ever seen this as wide open as it is. Alas and alack, Southern Miss is not in that discussion, but for the rest of the league, this thing is wide open. The media got this wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wild year, and, you know, I'm a big enough man to own the fact that I was one of those people that felt like Texas State was going to walk through the West, and App State was going to have a really good season. And when you look at those two teams, you're bringing back a ton of pieces. But, guys, as we learn in this new era of college football, things can change and change very rapidly. I mean, who would have had a 5-1 ULM team at this point knocking on the door of a bowl game? I mean, what Brian Vincent's done down there is incredible. So, you know, we already knew that preseason polls were just something for, you know, guys like us in this program to talk about a month before the season starts. But, you know, truly we learned that they're really not worth that much.
Who has overperformed? Well, you mentioned Louisiana Monroe. All right, so we'll give you that one. Who else has overperformed? And who has, based on expectations, grossly underperformed, maybe other than App State?
Yeah, I mean, you have to start with App State. You know, I would even say that I think James Madison has underperformed a little bit by the standards that they had set over the last couple of years. Obviously, a whole new coaching staff and largely a new team, but to be sitting at 2-2 right now in conference play, I don't think that that's where they want it to be. You know, for me, Coastal Carolina's been a disappointment. Get off to the good start. They have not looked good. You've already fired an offensive coordinator. You know, Texas State, I think people would have thought would have been a little bit farther along by now. I mean, they're still sitting there at 2-1. They've got that huge game tonight versus Louisiana, so they've got plenty of time to kind of turn things around and still end up in that championship game like many thought they would. But it has been a wild and wacky year, and, you know, that's, I think we've kind of gotten back to some of the old Fun Belt days.
And you mentioned Georgia Southern. That, to me, has been a big disappointment, considering that Helton has a few miles on his Georgia Southern tires. That team is a quandary to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've played well early on this season in spurts. You know, I think they're sitting in a similar spot to where they were last year at this time of year. They kind of control potentially their own destiny to get into that conference championship game. And as we saw last week, they faltered. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things look in the weeks ahead. But, you know, they have a new quarterback there and J.C. French, and I think there's some questions. So, you know, Georgia Southern certainly is a team that can still compete, but, you know, I think that fans there's an expectation, and especially in, you know, this year, they expected this team to be better than maybe they are.
And in the West, Troy has been a disappointment as well. We'll talk about that with Noah Frary, and then shift gears and talk with Noah a little bit about Sun Belt basketball as the Eagle Hour continues after this timeout.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this third segment of the Eagle Hour. It's in the shadow of the rock right over the 4th Street Bridge from Highway 49. It's the official pregame and postgame spot for Southern Miss fans to hang out before, after games, or tailgate. Sometimes when the weather's bad, people go there as well. And of course, all the big games on the big screen TVs there. Shoot a game of pool, play a game of darts. They even have trivia on Wednesday nights. That's 4th Street Bar and Grill. Continuing our discussion with one of our favorite guests, Noah Frary. We talked before the commercial break, Noah, about one of the teams that's been a little disappointing in the West, and you made a good point that it was pretty much based on reputation, but although Troy is improving, Troy's been a disappointment overall.
Yeah, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. You know, that team under Jared Parker just has not been great this year. Now, I will say the glimmer of hope for Troy fans is they have been decimated by injuries this year, particularly at the quarterback position. And you always knew that was going to be challenging for Troy because they were bringing in quarterbacks that didn't have a lot of playing experience, you know, which is in stark contrast to what Gunnar Watson provided in years past. So Troy has been a disappointment. I still think the future is bright for that program. I think it just has not been their year. They lost so many pieces. But I will tell you, it has made me appreciate what John Summerall was able to do there even more.
And John Summerall having a great year at Tulane. And, boy, talk about an upside there for a coach. Now, speaking of potential other coaches for Southern Miss, and this is always what fans like to sit around the water cooler and talk about. Well, what about this guy? What about that guy? The first name that I'll throw out there is currently working. All right, so he wouldn't even be available. But based on the fact that he's won some championships in the Sun Belt at Louisiana, Billy Napier, the head coach at Florida, should he become available, would you see him as a candidate?
I mean, again, it's all going to come down to money, but I think that is, I mean, it could be interesting. Obviously Florida's actually playing some better football right now,
yeah.
So maybe he finds a way to keep his job, but you know, I think that's certainly a name. I know Southern Miss fans, they love to talk about Ed Orgeron as a potential hire, the former LSU coach. I mean, I mentioned, you know, Brian Harsin, but it'll just be intriguing to kind of see the path that goes down. And, you know, I think Southern Miss fans have to be realistic and they have to ask themselves, is this a destination program for people? You know, Jeremy McLean can have an opinion about that, and I think there are some reasons behind that opinion. But given the state of this program and where it is at right now, you have to ask yourself, is this a destination? Because, yes, there's a ton of history for this Southern Miss program. It's a very proud program, but recently on-the-field success has not been a part of that story.
What about, you talked about going offense, but if Jeremy McLean decides to go defense, Austin Armstrong, who is also on staff at Florida, would he be somebody to take a look at?
I mean, when he was there, the defense was excellent. So I think you'd have to consider that. You know, here's another name for you. I really like Greg Gasparato at Tulane, their co-defensive coordinator. He's been at App State. He's been at Troy, so he knows the league very well. That's an interesting hire. You know, obviously, Southern Miss fans have very fond memories of Patrick Surtain Sr., who's at FSU right now. A guy like Patrick Toney, you know, with the Arizona Cardinals. So there's a ton of names here, and it's all going to come down to who wants to be at Southern Miss and how much money is it going to cost.
All right, let's talk basketball now, as the official beginning of basketball season is Monday night. And in our final segment, after we cut Noah loose, we're going to be talking about the exhibition game last night. Jackson State and Southern Miss played last night. The Eagles won their second exhibition game, had to go to overtime, but we'll talk about that. But when we talk about a basketball league, what makes basketball different than Sun Belt football, Noah, is that it really doesn't matter if you win 30 games in the regular season. Seriously, if you don't win the Sun Belt Conference tournament, you're not going to the dance. Whereas in football, you got 12 teams, I think, last year got bowl bids.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that last year with App State. I don't think the number was quite 30, but, you know, had a fantastic season, and they were sitting in the NIT at the end of the season. So, you know, I think for as many people who would like to hope that the Sun Belt becomes a multi-bid basketball league, that's not the case right now. You know, I think that the league will get one team in again this year. I mean, you have to look at James Madison, who was there last year. Again, ton of turnover. How much stock can you put into them? Arkansas State is kind of the darling right now, and what they were able to do last year, making that run at the tournament. So I think they have to be considered in there. I mean, this is maybe a sport where Southern Miss could make some noise. They were fifth in the preseason poll if you put much weight into that. But, you know, I expect to see a lot of close games. I expect to see a lot of home wins and road losses in this league. And at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to who's playing their best basketball in Pensacola in March, and the winner of that is going to go to the NCAA tournament, and most likely that will be the only team that does.
And because of the transfer portal, will we ever be able to truly be able to predict where teams are going to finish? Because these coaches are having to re-recruit their players every year. I mean, Southern Miss with Denaje Harris, this is his second trip back to Hattiesburg after going to Arkansas. So these coaches anymore, and not just at Southern Miss, but all of college basketball, they have no idea from year to year who they're even going to have next season. So the ability to even predict with some sort of knowledge, to me, is completely off the table now.
Well, and guys, the dirty little secret in this industry is that, yes, the coaches vote on the preseason poll, but there's not a lot of time that is put into understanding, hey, what pieces did Southern Miss gain? What pieces did they lose? So, I think preseason polls mean less and less every year at this point. But, you know, I think to further your point, when you look at the all-conference list, and I can't remember the exact percentage, but it's over three-quarters of the all-conference players from a year ago are no longer in this league, whether through graduation or transferring out. So every year the calculus is just changing so dramatically, and it's almost an unenviable position, you know, for the coaches who vote on these polls to kind of make a call. So, I kind of think it's a exercise that we do every year that, you know, at some point is becoming less and less of a valuable exercise.
Because of the bowl tie-ins with the Sun Belt, and we mentioned 12 teams last year, I think, got bowl invitations, and because of the strength of the baseball teams in the Sun Belt, the one league, the one sport that really seems to be lacking, trailing behind the others, is basketball. This year, of course, they had Media Day in New Orleans for football. Normally, or they have in the past, had a basketball Media Day. This year, it was done virtually rather than in person. But this has got to be really frustrating for Commissioner Keith Gill, the fact that basketball, just as a league, has not held up its end of the deal. Is that a reasonable assertion?
I think it is. I know that the Sun Belt has poured a lot of time and resources into trying to improve the basketball league. And, you know, you look at some of the things that they've done with, you know, crossovers with the MAC and others. But at the end of the day, they're still struggling with schedules and having enough, high RPI games to really make a difference. And, you know, again, when you get into conference play, it has been a meat grinder in recent years. And so it just becomes very challenging. So, you know, I think we all have to just become realistic that at the end of the day, that's probably what the Sun Belt is. Could there be off years where maybe you have two teams that could get in? I think last year was an example of, you know, one of those years that most likely App State and James Madison probably deserve trips to the NCAA tournament. But as this industry continues to shift more towards the power conferences, it's becoming harder and harder, for leagues like the Sun Belt to be able to compete. And the Sun Belt's best hope at this point might be the expansion of the NCAA tournament, which I know a lot of us are against, including myself.
And when you look at whatever Sun Belt team gets into the tournament, I think if you're brutally honest and look at it with clear eyes, you know that it's probably not going to be a team that's going to make a run to even the Final Four or the Sweet 16. But the reason why it's important is strictly from a financial standpoint. If your school gets into that field, there's some significant dollars, you know, to be made just by making the field. But still, the fact that only one out of 14 is going to get in, and it just demeans the regular season when it all comes down to who wins that postseason tournament. And I alluded to 30 wins earlier when Donnie Tindall was at Southern Miss. One of his teams amassed 30 wins and wound up only the sixth seed of the NIT tournament. So it's just extremely frustrating where you can be really good in basketball and it still not really matter, you know, if you don't win that that Sun Belt tournament. But
yeah, I mean, the point holds, and I think there's some frustration pieces there, but I think we can also just choose to kind of enjoy the basketball as it is. And, you know, I think one quick final thought here that, you know, that we can talk about next time I'm on the show, but, if the Sun Belt were to choose to look at expansion, I think it might make some sense to try to look at some schools that have good basketball products, like a Western Kentucky, like maybe even an MTSU, a Louisiana Tech. All three of those teams are in consideration out of Conference USA this year. So is that the future? I think that could be considered if the league were to try to expand.
Noah, I think there was a song back in the 70s, Nobody Does It Better. It was Carly Simon, I think, came up with it. Nobody knows the Sun Belt better than you. We appreciate your insight, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, always enjoy it. Have a good rest of the show.
Thanks so much. Noah Frary, formerly of the Frary and Smith podcast. When we come back, we'll break down the Southern Miss basketball win over Jackson State and set the table for you tonight in college football when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, you don't think that we get good guests on this program. Let me tell you who's on the show tomorrow. Matt Wallner. You ever heard of that guy? He's pretty good. Pretty good baseball player with the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, not bad. But then on Thursday, Nick Sandlin. Cleveland Guardians. He's pretty good, too. Mike Frazier will also be along with the JUCO update. That's on Thursday. Man, and then Friday, a roundtable discussion about the head coaching search at Southern Miss. Who do you think it should be? What sort of qualities are you looking for in the next head coach? This fourth segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by DBAT, perfect training facility for your youngsters getting ready for the upcoming softball and baseball season. Speed and agility, don't forget all that. That's part of it. If you want to learn about diet, exercise, whether you just want to firm up, lose a few pounds, they can take care of all of that for you. Tell you how to do it. Keep mentioning that because there's no magic pill, right? You got to get in there and do it. DBAT, proud sponsor of this program and of Southern Miss Athletics. Also, a reminder, Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. Visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 in Hattiesburg. Well, the basketball team, another exhibition win last night against Jackson State. And they had to go overtime to do it. But before you go, wait a minute, overtime to beat Jackson State. Look, Jackson State had three players from major Division I programs that transferred. One out of Cal Santa Barbara, I think, even. So the really good basketball team, Jackson State. Southern Miss wins at 92-85. They did have to go into overtime to do it. But when you look at the stats from last night, four different Eagles, including Andre Curbelo, for the second time in as many games, led the Eagles in scoring with 29 points. Denaje Harris, who we mentioned with Noah Frary, 25 points, and two others in double figures for the Eagles. Pardon me. And when you look at shooting percentages, well, let's take a look at rebound. First of all, the Eagles out-rebounded Jackson State 45-41. And anytime you win the rebounding battle, you're at an advantage there. But other than that, the shooting statistics were pretty doggone close, which would show you how close the game was. For example, field goals percentage for Jackson State for the game, 44.4%. For the Eagles, 44.6. It might come down to the suburbs of Philadelphia. No, actually, this game has already been won. All right, three-point shooting is where Jackson State really, really excelled. Get this. They shot better from the three-point line than they did from the rest of the floor. 47.8 from the three-point range, where the Eagles only shot 19%. But the Eagles were 30 for 41 from the free throw line, 73.2%, where Jackson State could only muster 18 of 28 for 64%. So the Eagles, again, win it 92 to 85 in overtime. Now, the regular season, those were exhibition games. The regular season begins Monday night against the Falcons of Bowling Green, and that is not Bowling Green, Kentucky. That's Bowling Green, Ohio, and that's part of the MAC Challenge. Monday, November 4th against Bowling Green, and that game is at Reed Green. I want to make sure of that, but I think it's Monday at Reed Green against Bowling Green. Now, on the golf, women's golf, they are really doing well. They're hosting this tournament called the Ally, and it's actually at the Judson is the name of the tournament. It's being hosted at Hattiesburg Country Club. The women's team is in second on the team leaderboard right now. So it's good when you're hosting a tournament that your competitors actually can do well. When you look at the leaderboard, Tarleton State is in first, followed by Southern Miss, then Jacksonville State, North Al is fourth, UAB is fifth. And Louise Kivers, going into this tournament, her best career round ever was a 73. Okay, but she is a freshman, and she shot 71 yesterday. So her best round, she was able to better by two strokes, and then she shot an even par round in the afternoon. She sits in fourth overall, six strokes out of first place. Taylor Tribble of Southern Miss is in fifth overall. So the ladies golf team doing well at a tournament that they are hosting, the Judson at Hattiesburg Country Club. Day two of that tournament going on right now. Mobe Beignet Company is the beignet store of Southern Miss and the Golden Eagles and the Eagle Hour. 2902 Hardy Street is the address. You can't hardly miss it. It's right across from the campus. You can find them on their Facebook page at Mobe Beignet Co., Mobe Beignet Co., like company, Hattiesburg. And you can keep track of their flavors of the month. You can get hot coffees, cold coffees, a great place for a lot of the students that they use Mobe Beignet not only to play board games, but to study. And, of course, finals right around the corner. You know that that they will be going to Mobe Beignet to take advantage of those studies. So we've got some great shows coming up later in the week. Of course, for football, Southern Miss, the Eagles are off this week as interim coach Reed Stringer and the guys try to put some things together. And for the remaining four games, when that schedule came out at the beginning of the year, we talked about it. Four games, bye week, four games, bye week, which is where we are now. And then the final four games of the season coming up before we fully shift gears into basketball. As we mentioned, Matt Walner on the program tomorrow. We hope that you will join us. For producer-engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we say Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.